This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Even with the way Boston played in Game 3, I feel like that'll all change. All the perception and the feel that we have right now would change if the Knicks could go out there and, you know, go win a game at home. It shouldn't be that hard. The series shouldn't feel impossible. I haven't looked at the line tonight. I'm assuming the Knicks are underdog.
I haven't either. Matter of fact, I'm very curious. Do you think? Let's take a guess before we actually do look it up.
So
they were plus 5.5 on Saturday.
Right.
Remember that? So do you think it goes a little more based on perceived urgency and better play by the Knicks? Meaning it's a little less than that, or grew because the Celtics found their way?
I'm going to say it grew by a point. I'm going to go Knicks plus 6.5.
I'm leaning in that direction as well. I might say Boston plus 7.
Wow. Okay.
I think it might be more than that.
Let us know, Hoff, when you get that.
I want to play something for you. Dolph, do we have that ready, my man? Yeah, we do. Okay, so I heard Jerry playing some stuff on the morning show, of course, and I'm like, all right, I love Josh Hart. We all do. We respect the hell out of him, but this particularly caught my ear. Play this and then we'll react. Go ahead, Dolph.
Play with enough urgency, enough physicality. Give them credit.
Okay. Now, maybe that's just an athlete rotely answering a question without giving it much thought, and maybe I'm overreacting. But, Dolph, I need you to play that once more. Listen to what he points out as why the Knicks weren't ready, and then we react.
And play with enough urgency, enough physicality.
Stop. You're playing the defending champions in your crib. You're up 2-0. Your home team is foaming at the mouth for a well-balanced, competitive game that you really haven't given them too often this year at the best venue in the NBA. And for my money, the best venue in sports. I love the Garden. We all do. Why, if he's right, and he can speak for the whole team, and I would think that he is the heartbeat of that team. Mm-hmm. He is that guy. He's that leader. Where was the urgency? Where was the toughness?
And this is something to what you've talked about throughout the course of the regular season. It's the same thing again. There is no excuse. It's the postseason. Win or lose, you go back to the 90s. There was never an issue about the effort or the type of consistency that was going to be out there. They might get beat, but it wasn't going to be because they were going to come out flat or not show urgency. Like, what the hell are we talking about here? It's the playoffs of the world's most famous arena. So what is going on within that starting rotation, that starting five, that prevents them from going balls to the wall right out the gate? Is it guys still feeling their way? OG, Bridges, Cat? Like, is it?
You know why I can't accept that? Because too often, and I know why you would volley that, but I think this, they play together too long, so for me that's expired. But they also were able to flourish under the most intense conditions late in games on the road. If your chemistry is an issue, that's when you would implode, not
but maybe
flourish.
By then the game is there. And I'm not saying that they don't like each other or anything. I'm talking about getting a feel for the start of the game, who's hot, because we've seen it develop down the stretch of these games. You know, Bridges takes over, and all of a sudden he's the guy. Or Ananobi was the guy throughout the course of the game, so he's going to hit some big shots down the stretch. Or Brunson in the clutch. Like, I don't have any concerns about this team closing. I have concerns about them starting. The first three quarters are the biggest issue. Who would think? Usually you'd be more worried about the fourth quarter, but with this team, it's the opposite. And I'm just throwing it out there. I don't have the answer to it, but it's a fact. It's happening. It continues to happen. Josh Hart just said it. that they weren't ready. How does that happen?
Well, it shouldn't happen. It's really unacceptable. It's embarrassing, really, is what it is, guys. We all know it's unacceptable. You're playing the defending champions. You're up 2-0. You got a chance. And by the way, the Cavaliers very well might be done. I mean, they lost again. Donovan Mitchell's ankle is jacked up. I'm not saying the Pacers will be a cakewalk, but think about what was lined up before these playoffs started. Oh, the Celtics are going to be tough. Oh, the Cavs, if they get past this, that's going to be tough. Well, I mean, you could have a chance, get rid of both of them, and you'd have home court advantage next series. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't even really know what the problem is, but I do know one possible solution would be to start the guy who plays well when he's on the court. And yeah, that's Mitchell Robinson.
You know, Brunson said the same thing, by the way. I know you mentioned Hart, the comments, but he basically said the same thing, that we just didn't come out with that urgency. So it's not just one or two guys. Like, it was a thing. And those two guys are clearly the leaders of the team. Brunson, the captain, and Hart's his best buddy. He's going to hold him accountable. So it was a thing. And maybe Mitch starting him changes it. I don't know. I mean, my biggest issue is that I think the Knicks need to hit more threes. Mitchell Robinson doesn't help in that regard. Now, offensive rebounding, sure.
Yeah.
But now you're taking away one of the other shooters because you're not going to bench Josh Hart, right, to start? I mean, are you benching Hart or Bridges?
Probably I would bench Josh Hart.
You would?
I would sit down Josh Hart. And see, I would have
a whole different story.
A little bit. And it's a story that I don't mind kicking around, and I certainly don't mind trying it because I think you've got to. Again, I said Sal last hour, like, if the Knicks don't win tonight, Now it's like desperate and, oh, what do we do game five? Now let's try Mitch. I'm looking to preemptively get ahead of this. Like, I'm trying to be proactive. I'm a big evidence guy, all right? And when I've got the overwhelming amount of evidence that over the course of three games, 90-something percent, the Celtics have thoroughly outplayed the Knicks, I'm not waiting for, 48 more minutes to come up with a different answer. I'm going to try to do something different starting tonight. And it solves a couple different things here. Number one, obviously a big presence on the backboard, blah, blah, blah. But you're not going to foul them. And you're not going to foul them when the game starts because you don't want to be in the bonus that early in the quarter. Otherwise, right, the other Knicks will reap the reward. So I know they wouldn't do that. It's, and then I can unleash Josh Hart and McBride and Shamit, and maybe one other starter, and maybe try to get a little. I know, I mean, there's nobody else to play.
Unleash McBride and Shamit.
I know, it sounds absolutely ridiculous. I you got to hope that it would be a special.
Why not Bridges off the bench? Bridges had issues starting.
Yeah.
Or slow, with the slow start.
Yeah, I hear you. I just think that he's more of a threat for spacing. Like, what I can't do, Sal, think about this.
Right, just have two nines.
I mean, I don't even love the fact that too often Knicks start games when they're 4-on-5 because of Josh Hart's either inability or lack of willingness to shoot, let alone make shots. So now I'm going to add somebody else who's never even, put the red carpet on the garden behind the three-point stripe and lead the court, and he still wouldn't shoot.
The other thing that you would think by starting Mitch would allow Cat to play on the perimeter, and I want him getting more threes. That, to me, is an answer to getting more threes. So my whole thing is, how we talk about Mitchell Robinson as such a key factor in the series, that's not good. He should be a factor, sure. He shouldn't be the biggest key, like, oh, now to solve all the problems, they've got to start Mitchell Robinson. I know where you're saying it. I know other people have brought that up. I do think it's going to be a lot more than that. Maybe Cat knocking down the threes might be the biggest key to this series because the Knicks are going to have to score more points, and they're going to have to do so by being more efficient, more effective from downtown. And to me, he's their best three-point shooter.
I don't know why he's not taking more shots, dude. I tell you that. I get you. I know why we're talking about Mitch. It's a little odd. I mean, Mitchell Robinson's good. He's more than that. And he's got some very, very inherent issues that prevent the Knicks from playing well. Bottom line is this. You got two all-stars. Start playing like it. Start playing like the two of among the two best players on the court from the tip to the buzzer. And that's our point guard and our center.
Right. Even the two what should be knowns haven't been consistent enough.
Not even close. No.
That's part of the problem as well. All right, Art is calling from Bridgeport, Connecticut. What's up, Art?
Hey, so a few things. Can I start with a historical perspective on a couple things?
Go for it.
Basketball, Nikola. So, one is, I really hate the three-point shot. I wish the NBA never adopted it, and I go back to when they didn't have the three-point shot, and the ABA first came out with it, and it was an oddity.
It was a gimmick, but listen, Art, I'm not trying to cut you, but they're not going to change it. They're really not.
I know that. I know that.
You know.
So another thing on Brunson being elevated to the level of like the greatest Nick ever, not until he wins a championship.
Well, how about can he get out of the second round?
To those teams.
I mean, good God.
Exactly.
And thank you for the call. That was my pushback. I'm not knocking Brunson as a player or his impact on the organization, but, I mean, can we just wait? You know, I texted you about this, BD, because I was off that day, but you were in, and you were talking about Brunson being the greatest Knick that you've seen with your eyes. And
yes,
I understand
no
that
question.
Argument. And for me, it would still be Ewing. Can we see Brunson at least get out of the second round here? I mean, this would be... Now, I don't want to get ahead of that because we could do this either later in the week or certainly next week.
Uh-huh.
But the expectations change up 2-0. That is a... Got to win this series. I hate to say that, and I know it doesn't look likely after Game 3, but it's still right there in front of them. They got to win this series.
On a scale of 1 to 10, you go into the game.
Yeah.
Wearing your Starks jersey, yeah. Hoping that they tap you on the shoulder, Sal.
Yeah.
Go bang one in from the corner.
I mean, I get some free throws, for goodness sake.
Of course, he takes the bait, and if I knew you would. What is your level of confidence, 1 to 10, that the Knicks play a... I'm not saying necessarily win, but they play a relatively clean, efficient four-quarter game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
4? 5?
I'd be lying to you. Okay, when you ask me that question live, it's like I have to dissect my inside to get... To remove the hope.
Take us through the process.
You know what I'm saying?
Go through it.
Because
the
hope really says, yeah, well, I'm going tonight. It's game 4. Going to go up 3-1. But based on factual evidence, what we have seen, it's harder to get there.
Okay.
So I would say that you're going to get I would feel confident in saying you're going to get a much better effort than what you saw in game 3. And I do think the Knicks will be competitive, and I do think it'll be a closer game, especially late. But who's to say that it can't go the way that it did last time when they played in the regular season when they were fully healthy? Brown was banged up, but the Knicks were fully healthy finally with Mitch coming back.
Mm.
They played a tough game, close game, at the Garden, good game, but ended up losing that game. So I would think it goes more that way. My gut is still not saying the Knicks are going to win tonight, but I 1,000% I feel confident the Knicks will play a much better game from start to finish.
By the way, it did go up a point, 5.5 to 6.5. Celtics are favored by 6.5. I mean, if there's a game, maybe somebody would choose like game 5. Or obviously, you know, elimination if you get to that game 6. But to me, tonight is the night that Jalen Brunson's got to drop 40.
Yeah.
You got to drop 40.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be relying on him again like that.
But he is the Knicks. Like, without Jalen Brunson, they stink.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, but that's it's not going to be good enough to beat Boston with that.
Well, it's just got to be good enough to beat him one night. That's my, you know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying 40 every game. I don't want to wait to game 5. I get value, road, and tied it to... No. I want to see 42, 43 from our guy, who all of us have deemed a superstar, and some of us have deemed, and my hands up, the greatest Knick my eyes have ever seen. Get it done tonight.
Yeah, I'm all
and
for
I think
that.
He will. I think he's going to play great.
I mean, that would be something. The Garden would go nuts for that. I also want to see the series prices, because they have flip-flopped significantly from where it was prior to the series, and then down 0-2, where it had Celtics and Knicks were basically even money. Hoff is on that now to try to look for the series price. I haven't
too,
checked,
yeah.
But I would think now the Celtics are going to be back to being a significant favorite, even after being down 2-1 off of that performance. You'd think that they'd be a bigger favorite. David is calling from Maplewood, New Jersey. What's up, David?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope you had a nice weekend beside the game. Listen, Thibodeau and the rest of the world knows that the Celtics live and die by the three-pointer. I don't understand why he doesn't coach them against the three-pointer better. I mean, he knows it's coming. And meanwhile, I was in a sleepaway camp, and they would tell me to keep my arms up and my hands up in the air all the time. It looks like they're chasing to try to catch up to the shooter.
Yep.
And how many baskets did they miss in the first quarter? Open looks. In the first quarter.
Now, Dave, I know you won't take this the wrong way. Were you at sleepaway camp in the 70s, the 80s? This is a serious question. Like, what decade?
I'm sorry, about that again?
The point is, whenever you were at sleepaway camp, and I don't think it was last week, okay, the specimens that were in the NBA, different. I mean, everybody who's 6'8", 6'9", can handle, can obviously pull in from 30, almost 30, 25 for sure. So I get it. The principle is, run, you know, don't go for the ball fake. You know, hey, communicate on defense. Do you go under or over the pick? I got it. But it's far more complex. But his main point is not really irrational. Tom Thibodeau is a defensive coach. Now, it's one thing if you have camp counselors, you know, talking about zone and man principles in the 70s upstate in Pennsylvania. Tom Thibodeau is a defensively principled, defensively rooted, outstanding basketball coach. Figure it out. And if you can't figure it out, well, then that's a problem that we're going to have to talk about after the series.
Well, but that's why they also don't have good defensive players.
What do you mean?
When you're talking about Cat, when you're talking about Cat or Jalen Brunson.
But you got to find a way to disguise, hide one of them.
I get it. Hoff, you have it, the series odds there for Boston?
Yeah, the Celtics are minus 260 to advance. Knicks are plus 215.
See, now is where I'd get back on. I wouldn't have touched it. After game two, I thought the value was with the Celtics, which was proven to be correct.
Yeah, 100, but we talked about that, right. No question.
Now, I wouldn't do it because I think still the time to do it was before the series.
Yep.
But I think you can make a case that you go the other way with the Knicks, plus 250, so you're getting 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I know it was ugly on Saturday. They win tonight. Yeah. It's going to be the opposite. Tomorrow, everybody's going to be like, here we go. We're going to the final.
100%. I'll be leading the Chargers. Yeah, here we go.
Well, that's why I need some more positivity from you.
Well, and by the way, now, I don't know if you tried to call me on something, but you asked me about, you know, touching the money.
Yeah.
I wasn't the one wearing a Celtics jersey that was floating around social media on Friday, which, by the way, because your partner's a good guy at his core, I purposely didn't retweet.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't repurpose.
You can
retweet it. No, I'm not.
I didn't retweet it because I look good in that picture, and I'm ashamed of how I look now in comparison.
So, okay. So, what you just told us, now, you look better wearing Celtics gear.
Yeah,
that's what you just said.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure you dig up a Knicks one, me with a Knicks jersey. Like you said, when I was wearing the uniform when I was in shape. I'm just a little fatter now.
You know what I'm saying?
I got to get back at you.
You looked very happy in the picture, too. That's what was most disconcerting. That's a very broad smile you had.
I was happy.
Well, you...
The loudmouth, trash-talking Big Three Nets got bounced.
We know that, but sometimes context is lost out there and things we can't control. People see a happy Sal wearing a white Celtics jersey.
I am glad you brought that up, though, because it was part of my thought process over the weekend when I was like, all right, well, I got to bring it up to BT. How much blame should he take? So, I mean, was my picture wearing a Celtics jersey floating around, was that a bigger issue?
No, because I'm going to be consistent with what I said. Right. I don't believe in that nonsense. Now, it's not necessarily the best look for you or the show by extension. I got pulled into this a little bit like my partner's wearing a Celtics jersey Knicks are playing the Celtics.
You know, I wasn't wearing it during the series.
I understand that. I get it, but I'm being consistent. I don't believe in Boomer's thoughts about touching the money or the freeze or whatever. Although I do hope the freeze works tonight with KP.
I
might latch onto a little bit more. And I also don't believe that you celebrating a Celtics win over the Nets 4 or 5 years ago has any impact adversely or positively on our Knicks. So, no, I don't think so.
I mean, I could see if I came in with a Celtics jersey today.
Well, that would be ridiculous. I mean, if that happened, I couldn't work with it.
Yeah, of course.
Why would you do that?
I would never do that, but that would be an issue.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Yes.
Me wearing it when they beat the Nets, it was, come on, Todd is calling from Newton. What's up, Todd?
Guys, I'm old enough to know when my dad and I on a Sunday afternoon watched the Celtics, John Havlicek, we hated the Celtics. My dad made me hate the Celtics. Where is this team today? They have what it takes. How could they come out like they did in that game and just disappear? Cat disappears.
Yeah.
The whole team disappeared. Where are they?
Well, one of my chief concerns with Karl Anthony Towns has been that too often he's not really having any impact. Well, I know he's talented.
Do they have what it takes? Todd said that they do have what it takes. Do they?
To win the championship with this group?
Well, or beat the champion. I mean, that's still TBD.
I would have said, though, going in, but based on the fact that the wackiest, historical outliers occurred in game one and game, literally, it's never happened where you've had back-to-back playoff wins down by 20 points on the road. So, I mean, when you see that, you got to leave the door slightly ajar that maybe something wacky is going to happen. But I didn't think the Knicks had a chance coming into the series, unfortunately.
Right, but then you saw two games, and they got you back in.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you can't get pulled in with wins,
you're
just a miserable person. Of course I got pulled in.
So you also went against your core belief of what it was, so maybe there was some more hope there, but that's what I need from you today.
Are you going back to this?
Yeah, because you got pulled back in after the two. Just stay the course now, believing, I don't want
I
you
am.
To get, believing that you can win the series.
Mm.
See, this is what I mean.
I'm not sitting there tonight, dude.
Back to where you were at the beginning of the series.
I can promise you, now this might not satisfy, you know, your play on psychology here, okay? But I'm going to tell you where I'm at. I'm not sitting down to watch this game tonight at 7:30 expecting the Knicks to lose.
Right.
I'm just not expecting them to win.
Jeez. It feels like all hope is lost. I don't know if I've ever felt this negative about a 2-game-1 lead.
I haven't.
With a fourth game at home. In a Knicks playoff series
Never.
Before.
So I think there's different types of frustration. And there's no doubt Knicks fans are frustrated. You should be. I mean, Saturday was just really disgraceful. We eventually got to turn the page, but boy, it was wretched. So there's frustration because your team doesn't play well. That's fair. Comes with the territory. But I think the frustration that you're hearing, not from all of the Knicks fans today and over the weekend, but I think this frustration is more rooted in fear. It was almost like a reality slap. And that's why as much as you keep trying to pull me into the positive part of the pool, and again, 7:30 tip, I'll be rooting like hell, I'll be going nuts. Let's go Knicks. Everybody knows that. But for me, the frustration's more rooted in the acknowledgement, even if I don't want to go all the way there, I'm kind of there, that the gap between the two teams is as vast as I thought it was, and I feared that.
Yeah, which is why I was trying to tell people to relax after game one. Same thing after game two. Okay, this is great, up 2-0. But you knew that this was coming at some point, and it was only one game. Now, the problem is it was one game that was just an absolute ass-kicking. And if you add all three games up, the 20-point lead in the game one, the 16-point lead late fourth quarter game two.
Defending champions.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the problem that we have. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. John is in Monroe. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much.
BT, you know, I'd love to see Jalen get 40, but I don't even think he's going to get 30. I would take 25 and 15 assists because I just don't think the Celtics, they're too good defensively. They're not going to let him beat them for 30-plus. And, you know, if he's going to need some of his counterparts to step up. Bridges, Towns, these guys are going to have to score. And, you know, you see him getting double teams, dribbling for 10, 15 seconds. Nobody cuts to the ball. Towns just stands around.
Yep.
Just watch the four other players. Nobody is moving. I mean, that's just an obvious thing. Your guy's in trouble. He's got two guys. Cut to the basket. It just never happens. And you know, Boston's just too good defensively to let it happen. Somebody else is going to have to step up and score besides Brunson.
Well, but that's different, you know, from saying that Brunson's got to explode tonight. I don't disagree with like, you can have both here. Like, it's not like this is going to be, I know we had one early in the series. Knicks aren't going to win 89-88 tonight.
Right.
Like, they're going to have to probably win. I think you'll see kind of a hybrid of what we've seen so far, or at least a hybrid of Saturday, where the Celtics aren't quite as good, and the Knicks just, I mean, they have to be better, right? Right? And if you get that, yeah, Brunson, for me, has to lead the way. But, you know, you're going to need the other components. I mean, well, honestly, Carl Anthony Towns just, he's got to go dominate, man.
I think that's the problem, is where the Knicks just have inconsistency within their players. I don't think this is a coaching thing, although some are going to argue that you could do better with the head coach. I think this is a construction of the roster thing to a certain extent, because I'm all for bringing in the talent, but do the pieces fit well enough to beat a team like the Celtics, who are the champions, who have just pieces everywhere? I'd put more value in having a sixth man of the year and a guy like White and Holiday, those role players that excel in their roles, versus the Knicks having guys that can be superstars on any given night, like Towns, Brunson, Bridges, you want to throw an OG Anunoby, where I even leave Anunoby out of that, because I think Anunoby can fill his role well with the right supporting cast. I don't know why the inconsistency is game one. He's a hero. You haven't seen him in game two or game three.
And that's happened. That's what I'm saying. He kind of disappears, then he goes nuts.
It wasn't like this last year with that iteration of the Knicks. You knew what you were getting for an Anunoby. So I value that more, having guys know their roles. Now, we knew there was going to be a learning curve with this team. This is still year one, but I still get the sense that I don't know it, watching these games every night, what the exact roles are, what the offense is going to be, who to expect what from on any given night. It's different every single night.
I know it is. Listen, I don't think you are. I know I'm certainly not a minutes police guy. I know it comes up a lot with Tom Thibodeau. I have no problem with it. I think part of it, you know, because they haven't been railroaded by injury, so I think it's an unfair criticism. Matter of fact, I think it's harding them up when games get late. Other teams are huffing and puffing. The Knicks are really ready to still be able to run at a top speed. So I think it's almost advantageous. But I gave you the number. Knicks are minus 20. They're starters. Minus 29 plus minus ratio so far. Are they minus 29 because the starting five, it's just not a good construction? Or are they minus 29 because they're getting tired?
I don't think it's because they're getting tired.
I don't think so either, which has always been my primary point about this team. It never felt the way I thought it never looked the way I thought it would. Now, I hope to hell that tonight it looks the way that it should and I want, but I'm definitely worried.
John is in Lindenhurst. What's up, John?
How you doing, guys? What's up? I just got two things to mention here. I think the lack of urgency, Brunson saying that after the game, that's on him, man. Like, you're the captain of the team, and you're not having your team ready. You're up 2-0. You're 2 wins away from sending home the champs. And you know how your team doesn't have urgency? Like, that's insane to me. And then the other thing, I think Mitchell Robinson should not play another minute in this series. He's killing the offense. They're just following him, and he's just bricking every free throw.
Tom Thibodeau, thanks for the call there, John. Appreciate it. That's why he's got to find a way to either deploy him earlier or be creative, because it does. Listen, we all know he's missing free throws, and no matter what he does, now he could get slightly better. I think he's like at 19% for the series, whatever the number is. He at least should be around 40 or 50%. Good God, jeez. But there's a way, I think, to get him earlier. They won't foul. But the problem is, when he is on the court and he's getting fouled, now there's so many interruptions to the flow of the game that it takes away from Jalen's ability to do what he does and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, it is a problem. He's a liability. I'm not saying I would not play him. He's been an asset to them in a lot of ways in the series, but he's been a problem offensively. You can't have a total zero on the floor that he's so bad that the other team can't wait to foul him. Foul trouble, penalty be damned. They don't care. They're fouling Mitchell Robinson, and they want to do anything they can to get him to the free throw line, because to your point, that's the best defense. Chop it up, slow things down, get him to the free throw line. You know he's not scoring. You're almost guaranteed to have an empty possession by fouling Mitchell Robinson. So that can't happen. Your other point about putting the blame on Brunson for the team not being ready, I almost understand why the human nature part of what Brunson and Hart said.
Calder's point, by the way, just to be clear. I didn't say that about Brunson.
About Brunson saying, well, Brunson said it, and then he blamed Brunson for the lack of urgency. Human nature is, when your backs aren't against the wall, when you are up 2-0, human nature is not going to maybe have you have that killer instinct. I'm not absolving it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that there is circumstance here where you're up 2-0, and maybe you didn't have as much urgency. That happens all the time. Where the Celtics down 0-2, they had the urgency, because if they don't win, they're screwed. They're likely done. Nobody's ever come back from down 0-3, and the Knicks just weren't able to match that. It's not excusable, but it could be understandable to a certain extent.
I'm going to meet you halfway here, because I don't think it's a bad point. So, because the Celtics walked on that court with a different energy. It's an energy of salvation. Gotcha. The Knicks, I know the Knicks wanted to win. I know the Knicks were diligent with film. They didn't mess around and go out late. They just didn't. They didn't have it at the start. So here's where I'm going to meet you halfway. Once you're 5-6 minutes, first TV timeout, or you call the timeout, once you're in the flow of the game and the emotional and physical, and not even effectiveness, I mean just the way they're running through picks and set picks, and their energy, once you hit that first timeout, you got to look at each other in a huddle and say, yo, guy, we got to wake up. Let's go. Like, we have to wake up now. So even if Boston is through the roof, which they were because they're great and they're champions, I would have expected the Knicks to it after the first 5 or 6 minutes elapsed, be like, all right, we have to click back in or it's a wrap. And they never did. And that's inexcusable.
Yeah, and that's, to me,
I'm okay with a slow start.
Yeah,
you can't get punked for the entire game.
Right, but the first quarter was where it was just dagger through the heart. Down 16, taking the crowd out of it. Then the feel of being embarrassed at home. And, the Celtics are that good. And the Celtics then feeling themselves. Like, there's a lot that the momentum and snowball went in favor of Boston where I don't know how much of it was just lack of urgency throughout. Maybe the initial first few minutes, but by then, Boston was already kicking their teeth in.
Yeah, but hold on. There's so much basketball to go. Yeah. And think about what they did the first two games, how they negated that. I'm not even saying they had to come back and win the game.
I know.
But the Knicks really never even got themselves in a position to be in position. And that's where you walk away saying, man, what a lost opportunity.
Yeah, I get it. I also think it just comes down to Boston hitting more shots. If they were missing those threes, then maybe you feel a little more, hey, the Knicks looked like they had some urgency right there, taking a missed three, turning it into some offense. Obviously, Boston wasn't missing, and the Knicks couldn't have nearly enough offense. I had a glass picture. It was one of those cheesy ones that you buy on the streets of New York. It was of Tony Soprano, a drawing. And I don't know where it was. It must have been it was in like some kind of bin. And I remember
any
watching.
Any frame gabagool or no?
I was watching it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It was Knicks, Pacers, I want to say game two. God, what year is this? It might have been 99, whatever it was. Maybe it was, in fact, 99, that postseason run that the Knicks went on. But I remember they were down so big in the second quarter, I punched, which I didn't know, but it was glass. I ended up cutting my hand. Outside of that, and I thought they came back in that game, if memory serves, I don't remember a worse playoff game. There was just nothing from this game. All those years in the 90s, I'm sure there were some bad games that maybe I'm forgetting.
I'm looking something up right now.
But especially at home. Remember, those would usually happen on the road.
Yeah.
At home, in a series you're up 2-0 in the second round to get blown out from start to finish like that, I don't recall ever enjoying a loss like that.
I don't either. No, I really don't. You know, again, those teams that we love from the 90s, they put us through some moments where they couldn't buy a point for sometimes seven, 8 minutes right. in a row. I mean, nobody could shoot. If Patrick was off, good luck at anything. I can't I'm trying to find it, too. So I do remember, ironically, although I think I blame you more than I blame me on this with punching the thing. Yeah. So I was remember when there used to be a Hooters across from the old Coliseum, the Coliseum. Yeah. And I was there. I think it was the game Jets Saints, maybe Sunday night or Monday night. Remember when one of the Jets took Aaron Brooks's helmet and threw it? Do you remember that? It's kind of a little Jet detail. Yeah. No big deal if you don't. Anyway, Jets weren't playing particularly well. And I was walking to the bathroom, and there was a Jets poster on the wall. And, of course, I cocked back, and I punched it. Unbeknownst to me, there was a mirror behind the...
Oh.
So as I go to the bathroom and, you know, unzip whatever, I look down, my hand's bleeding.
Oh. Now, wait, why would you blame me when I punched something without knowing what was there in my own house and basement?
Well...
And
I'm looking at a poster. Yeah. It seems like you...
I was just in frustration, like, you know how you sometimes would punch the table?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the hell, where this thing was in, but it just happened by accident.
Oh, so maybe I have to take back that blame. So you didn't know that it was...
I did not know.
Oh, well, there you go.
It was, like, hidden in some kind... It wasn't hung on the
wall. That's different, then, because I'm saying I just see a poster. How the hell would you think there's a mirror behind the poster?
I respect the passion there. By the way, did you see this news here with NBC? So, obviously, the NBA on NBC is going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Round Ball Rock, John Tesh, a legendary addition to the NBA on NBC and Peacock. Michael Jordan going to be a special contributor.
Really?
Yeah.
That's money.
We're thrilled to welcome Michael Jordan as a special contributor to the NBA on NBC and Peacock.
Wow.
I mean, now,
wow.
Can you imagine? What is he just like, does he want to do this? Are they, like, it can't be about the money.
No.
I wouldn't think
how much golf can you play?
I would think the last person on earth that would want to be doing anything would be Jordan. I mean, obviously I don't know him, but just based on the public, you know, lack of appearances in the last 40 years,
mm-hmm.
right? Or 30, whatever it's been since he retired for real.
Yeah.
It's like he's impossible to find. I love it. I'd watch because of Jordan.
Oh my God. Now,
he might be the one guy that could get me to watch just because of him.
Let's hope that he's not like Gretzky on air or like Joe Montana on air. And I don't think he's going to be. See, maybe I'm just throwing this out there. I doubt that this is the case. Like, I would love for Michael's motivation to come back to I don't mean hammer the current product, but to add some real context as to how, then again, would they hire him if that was the, I mean, you're not going to get on the air and destroy the product. That would result in clicks.
Yes.
I'm very intrigued. I mean, he has always been somebody who's been very averse to political leanings and really, he just kind of stays in his lane. Michael just wants to have a cigar, play golf, gamble, do whatever. You know, that's pretty much it. I think it's awesome.
He's seen all the others get in it, though. I mean, Barkley's been doing it forever. Jeter does it. Like, you would never think Jeter would do something
like
that.
And Jeter's better than I thought he would be. Not that he's great, but I thought Jeter was boring, personality-wise, as a player. I think he's got more juice that he obviously concealed just to keep his job from getting less complicated. You know, so the more fires you got to put out as a Yankee shortstop, the tougher your day is, but... He's better on TV. I think Jordan, if he's into it, I think he's going
to
be great.
Well, I just care what he says more than anybody else, especially about the current product. Like, I'd love to hear what Jordan says about not only the product in general, and plus we're that type of guy. Like, we're old school guys. But him commenting on LeBron or Anthony Edwards.
Three-point shots.
Jalen Brunson in the days. Like, I'd love to get his perspective on all of it.
Yeah, me too.
Fascinating.
That's good stuff.
And you get the music, Round Ball Rock, and MJ. Yep. I'm in for NBA.
Knicks back in the finals. We get it, too. We really throw it back to the 90s.
That'd be great. BT and Sal on the fan. Lenny is calling from Yonkers. What's up, Lenny?
BT and Sal, what's going on? I am ready for this game, baby. Let's do this. Condolences on the loss of your brother-in-law.
Thank you, Lenny. But I appreciate that.
I'll tell you what, this team is so consistently inconsistent. Look at OG, 29 points one game. Next game, 5 points. Macau, game one. You know, the same thing, but we have to, the way we beat this team is this. We have to beat them at their own game. We have to attempt more threes. We have the shooters, Brunson, OG, Hart, McBride, Cat. And the first quarter, come right out and get fouled. We have to get to the rack and get fouled. get to the free throw line, and get them in foul trouble.
Lenny, do you want to shoot more threes or get to the free throw line? You can't do both.
You can do both. You have to do both. We have to get around these screens because these screens are killing us. That's what's making them with these open threes. That's how they're getting these open threes with these screens. So we need to get around. And I will say something also. The lack of urgency was said the same thing in the interview by Brunson, Cat, McCall, and Hart.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all saying the same thing.
Well, but then why did they do something about it, Lenny? And thank you for the call. We do appreciate the kind sentiments about my brother-in-law. Thank you very much. But BT, I mean, there's a lot there. Yeah, okay, well, they got to fight through screens better and be a better defensive team. Shoot more threes. Okay, get to the rim. Like, the offensive game plan should be either or. I'm not saying you can't have a mix of both, obviously, but you're either going to make a conscious effort to shoot more threes or attack the rim more. I don't believe the Knicks have the right guys to shoot more threes. You're not going to beat Boston at their game. I do think the Knicks need to figure out an offensive game plan to have some kind of consistency. For me, it would be having Cat more play on the perimeter. And if you want to start Mitch, obviously, to help facilitate that, fine. I just think the Knicks need to be consistent with their game and play better defense.
I mean, calling up, and I get it, it's a very simple thing, and at least on paper, like, you know, hey, getting over the screens or getting around the screens or not leaving guys open.
Right.
We also watched one guy in New York dominate baseball with one pitch, and everybody knew what it was, and everybody knew that it was coming every pitch, the cutter. Like something from Mariano. Sometimes you do things so well, even if they are pretty simplistic at its core, that it's hard to stop. I don't understand how, I'm not trying to pick on him, but I don't understand how Karl Anthony Towns is not more forceful against everybody that goes against him is 30 to 40 pounds lighter. How are you not backing them in the post and punishing them? How is this not happening? That's how you get to the stripe.
And what do you and he did that a little bit, obviously, but game three was out of hand anyway by the time that was going on. What do you think is the best offensive attribute, because there's no defensive, best attribute of Karl Anthony Towns?
I think, and I'm probably going to walk into your answer because I think it's probably similar to you. I think optimally, Karl Anthony Towns gets loose from downtown early and then is able to work his way into the mid post. He's not Patrick. He's not going to the low block. And then you start getting those arrays of little fall away jump shots. And then when he's really feeling himself, now he can square and he can do a couple dribbles and go to the rim. Yeah, and that's when he gets fouled.
Because I feel like he's kind of a tweener.
Like, he is.
Okay. He could do a little bit of down low, but he's not great at that.
No.
And then he could obviously shoot the three, which I think he is great, especially for a big man.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, my biggest, like the thing that I love the most about Cat is that he's a big that can shoot better than anybody else. And in today's NBA, that should be extremely valuable. And I feel like the Knicks are kind of torn on how they want to use him. With Ewing, there was no, it was clear, feed the big man down low, let him go to work. Now, again, we're 30 years later, so I'm just giving you an example of a former big man. With Cat, it's, okay, well, he could try to put the ball on the floor a little bit, and he's got some guard-type moves, but he's also sloppy. He's looking for contact. He's out of control. He's not getting the benefit of the whistle, and then it's a turnover. Like, that happens far too much in traffic and in the paint. And if you're not going to get the call, then I would just look to set him up on the perimeter. Ball movement, spacing, have the big man knock down some threes. If you need to go put the ball on the floor and try to get to the hoop, okay, on occasion, but I wouldn't be trying to feed him down low either. I like him most on the perimeter.
I think when they try to feed him repeatedly, now it did work in the, that would have been game two, when he went on that bonkers run where he looked like Ewing. That was great, but I think that's more, less likely to happen continuously. I think the root of the issue for the Knicks here is that their point guard, and I'm not begging on Jalen, but Jalen's also in between. Where, yeah, he could set some guys up, but he wants to handle it. He wants to pound it. He wants to dribble as he's figuring out what he's going to do.
Right.
And he's so adept, because he wouldn't be in the NBA without it, let alone be a superstar. His footwork and his angles and his anticipatory nature, like, those are Hall of Fame next level items. And it's amplified positively when he does have the ball in his hands, because he can really use those things to his advantage by making the right reads and the right cuts and the right up fakes. But when he does that, everybody else is standing around.
I'm feeling that the energy has been a little negative.
From
all of us.
Okay.
Around game three, understandably so.
Mm-hmm.
But we are in New York.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a game four tonight. The Knicks do have a 2-1 lead. Let's change up the energy when we come back.
positive. It's almost like TV style coming in.
No, let's not focus on...
I'm down for that. I might have to fake it a little bit, but...
I was going to say, let's maybe suspend reality. We went over reality for 2 hours. Not that we're looking to do fanboy radio, because we're not going to do that, but I do want to get excited about the game tonight.
I like this.
The Knicks are, like, the facts also are the Knicks are up 2-1.
I like it.
Anything could happen tonight. We don't know. We could be coming here tomorrow at 10 a.m. talking about a 3-1 lead and one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
Let's try to change the energy and balance it out a little bit for the second half of the show when we come back.
Or we can come in with a shovel and, you know, unfortunately have to bury him tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, no, we could.
I'm down. I am down to change this, and we will have to almost forget what we saw.
Right.
Delete it from the memory bank and just get to a positive place. I like that.
BT and Sal. A more positive version of BT and Sal when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.